This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChooseProMavera.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. And this morning we have gotten Hall of Fame nominees for the 2026 Pro Football Hall of Fame class, and it is headlined by two names that you might imagine. One of them is, for me, for my thoughts, top three all-time wide receivers, and another one is a prominent quarterback. That's Larry Fitzgerald, Drew Brees. Those are some of the headliners on nominees for Hall of Fame. Both those guys are, like, immediately in, right?
Drew Brees in for sure. Absolutely. Larry Fitzgerald in for sure. Those are locks. I'm looking at the list right now. I mean, there's going to be some. There always is, of course, but there's going to be some other ones that might be climbing pretty quickly.
All right, so there's some other prominent first-year eligibilities, and I don't think anybody would disagree with this on the Drew Brees, Fitzgerald ones being just like easy ones here.
Yeah.
But some of the other first-time eligibility guys include Phillip Rivers and Alex Smith. Out of those guys, how do you feel about them? It feels like they probably have to wait a year.
They're going to have to wait. Phillip Rivers is obviously, you know, one of those that you're going to hear a lot of arguments about either way.
Yeah. I like how you're like, Alex Smith, he's also there.
Yeah.
Tight ends?
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked he there, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. As a nominee?
Yeah, I never thought about him.
Well, it's just 5 years out. It's almost automatic.
Yeah, and yeah. Alex Smith is such a funny dude because I think we have kind of, because of the way things went in his career with the injuries and then just kind of being usurped a couple of times at different jobs, he was a really good quarterback. Like, he was a really solid quarterback
in the
NFL.
That's where it ends.
But yeah, it's not Hall of Fame.
Do y'all put him
right?
on the same level as Phillip Rivers, though?
No, God, no. No, Phillip Rivers is miles ahead of him.
Yeah, I think I would go with Phillip Rivers better. Phillip Rivers just had the worst luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just with a bad organization at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Do we view those Chargers at that time as a bad organization?
No, just unlucky.
Eli Manning didn't want to go there.
He didn't. But then Phillip Rivers got there, and they did a great job putting talent around them. Like, there's a number of teams I could think of.
They just stumbled over their own feet.
And you could rattle a ton of great players off there. But, yeah, they just felt like any time they got to a game that they really needed it, it was the Phillip Rivers situation where you're down one score and it's 45 seconds. You got no timeouts. So you got to go 70 yards down the field to try and score a touchdown and win the game. And it never happened because, of course, it didn't because Phillip Rivers was cursed.
Are there any other first-year candidates that jump off the page to you? Because I think you know mine.
Well, let me see as I roll through these. So you'll have Greg Olsen and Jason Witten that are going to be first-year available. Frank Gore and LeSean Shady McCoy are here, offensive linemen. David DeCastro and Marquise Pouncey, and then some defensive linemen, Geno Atkins and Jarrell Casey. Oh, and then Thomas Davis, who I famously will always remember him as a dude who broke his arm in the NFC Championship game and then still played in the Super Bowl two weeks later, which you would never get me to do. Not never.
Me neither. I think Frank Gore, no, it's not going to happen right out.
No, Frank Gore, I don't think is the first. If he gets in, it's going to take a couple of years.
Yeah, but I think he deserves to be in. I really do.
You could easily get me on the Pouncey brother. Like, I think the Pounceys were incredible when they were playing. That one feels like an easy one you could get me on. And I think Jason Witten is one of those guys that's regarded so highly that I think he ends up being one of them that gets looked at as getting put in, especially as a Cowboy. I think a lot of these other guys, while very good in various different respects, especially knowing how hard the NFL, the Pro Football rather, Hall of Fame is to get into, I think that we might be talking about how long it takes for some of these guys to get in as opposed
to first year
type situations. All right.
What's the year J.J. Watt is eligible to go in?
Is it next year or two more years? I'm drawing a blank on exactly. It might be a year after next when he retired. It's 5 years, so.
Yeah, and his final season was 22, so he's got the year after next. Mm-hmm. That'd be the
27.
Yeah.
Yeah, where he'd be eligible to go in. Our football talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Just visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. I saw this stat before the Sunday Night Football game, and I actually updated it after Sunday Night Football. And NFL offenses to this point in the season were averaging 318.6 yards per game, which you go, all right, what does that mean? That's the lowest total yards per game since 2005 and the third lowest total this century.
So what's it telling you? Go ahead.
That's the question I wanted to ask. Why do we feel like that's the case in this modern era where, like, teams are not averaging as many yards per game? There's a few things that have been thrown out there generally that I want to run by you, but I want to get your initial thought on what comes to mind when you see, oh, wow, offenses, when it comes to yards per game, are down.
I think it points to the defense. I think defenses are just so advanced now. The scouting and the coaching is so good, you know, C.J. Gardner-Johnson notwithstanding.
And
athleticism and size. I think it's just the defenses are so good. Here's one that you probably are going to be surprised to hear me say. Lack of preseason reps.
Hey, we got them, boys.
Lack of preseason reps.
We got them.
I still don't.
Bring back the preseason.
Hold on, I wasn't through.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Still don't want the preseason. Think it's a waste of time.
We don't got them,
but,
boys.
But there is a ramping up. There is a ramping up element that's involved here.
Yeah, I think that that's fair early on in the season, right? We're not seeing that kind of getting out quickly. Some people very easily went to a thing that I think is fair, which is the continued advancement of starting position with kickoffs, obviously, you know, being the return and then the touchback being placed all the way at 35. But interestingly enough, like when it comes to starting field position, that actually hasn't been that much of a deal. I think what's also something interesting to pair with it is that per True Media as well, 2025 is the second highest season in history in terms of points per drive. I think that also, in addition to having teams playing a lot of too high safety, I think that's some of it, but I think teams are also advancing and having longer possessions and going and scoring possessions a little bit more. There's maybe a little bit less of like, hey, back and forth. Then I think that might be kind of narrowing some of the.
And it could be none of the above. It might not be the defenses are advancing the preseason, you know, the starting position. It could simply be because we're just three games in. I mean, that's a very small sample size. And by the way, there have been a lot of defensive touchdowns and special teams touchdowns.
That also has helped.
We mentioned this past week, and there were nine special teams or defensive touchdowns this past week. So it could be like, hey, let's put a pin in this and let's see what it looks like in week 9, week 10. You know,
couple more things that are worth noting because I think some people on the text line fall in line with you. Training camp. Somebody said quarterback talent has dropped, and I actually don't think I agree with that. Like, I think we are pretty close to having some of the best quarterback talent that we've had really in a long time. Like, we really have a lot of talent on. I mean, hell, we're looking at Daniel Jones producing at a pretty high level.
Yeah.
And that's a dude that I don't know that we view all that highly and respect in a huge way. I appreciate the 979 texting in saying that the Texans are bringing the average down, which feels objectively true. But in addition to that, I found this to be interesting from Deontay Lee. It could be as simple as defenses are just ahead of offenses.
That's what I keep saying.
Some of that is training camp, but some of that is also defensive line talent really outpaces our offensive line talent. And we see that very particularly with this Texas team, but we're seeing also other teams. Again, I would circle back to, I saw Mina Kimes tweet this over the weekend, and I think she's right in this. The teams that didn't invest in their offensive line, you're seeing the dividends of that pay off because defensive lines have been so damn good around the league right now that if your offensive line isn't tip-top, especially knowing that there's not a lot of great offensive line talent, at least relative to the number of positions there are, you're going to have a bad time, and I think that some of that is also
The first thing that popped in my mind. It's the defenses. It's the size. It's the strength. It's the coaching. It's the scouting. It's the athleticism. It's the focus on so much more defense. And despite them always bending the rules to try to benefit the offense, the defense is just better.
Shout out to defenses just getting out here and continuing.
It seems like the defense is trying to take away the big plays too.
Agreed.
So that's probably why you don't see all of the big fireworks that you usually see from like a Patrick Mahomes and all that stuff. And they just taking the whatever the defense give them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll pick up those yards and it'll take longer. Also, I wonder how much of it is as much as you're not going like back and forth necessarily. Team's willingness to go for it more on fourth down and like, you know, kind of matriculate down the field in addition to like seeing more two high shells.
Yeah, because when you look at the stats, you see stuff like, oh, Patrick Mahomes had a good game. He had 222 yards.
Yeah.
It's just like that.
Used to be 400.
Man, they used to average about 300 yards a game.
That's one of the things I do always appreciate about sports is that you have to take a second at any given time and be like, all right, how have my kind of preset kind of preconceived notions changed, and how do I need to shift them to be in line with what the season is? Because that's one of those ones where you're like, oh, well, you didn't throw for 300 yards. How good of a game could you have been? Like, I think now you have to be like, all right, well, what does that number actually look like in this year, in this time? Because
they'd be like, they'd be like 22 for 25 for 222.
Right.
It's just like, that was a good game, but we used to see in the 350.
Yes.
You know, 45 for 350 or something like that.
Yes.
I mentioned Drew Brees. Obviously, he is headlining that Hall of Fame class. He also is getting even more into media. And apparently, he has no love lost necessarily for this Eagles offense. Because despite the Eagles starting 3-0, apparently he doesn't like it all that much. He said, quote, I respect Philly, because he was on First Take.
Mm-hmm.
He said, they're winning games. They're finding a way to win games. But I can't stand to watch that offense. It's the most boring offense, close quote.
Do you agree with that?
I kind of do. I don't even know how much this is about the tush push itself. I do feel like they have a lot of talent, and it kind of ends up looking relatively mundane. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, the bell of the ball in that offense is Saquon Barkley. But they don't really do a great job getting the ball to A.J. Brown. We've seen this a number of years now. It feels like, honestly, I have to remember that Devontae Smith plays for that team, and he's really good at playing football, but it just doesn't seem like they get the ball to him a lot. It just ends up being like really – it ends up being kind of drab. I hear him to some degree. I'm not going to lie. When I first read it, I was like, is he hating right now?
That's what I thought, because I don't think immediate – you want to see boring? We got you boring. Hey Drew, have you watched any of these games down here?
That is fair. Yeah.
And maybe that's where I am. Like, I know boring, and that ain't boring.
See the thing is, the Eagles are winning.
Yes,
and
ain't boring.
Yeah, they won the Super Bowl and they're winning. So that maybe it do look boring for a winning team like that.
I think I just figured it out as I'm talking here. It's like, because I saw that and I'm like, what? And then I realized, oh, that's because I watched these guys so closely.
But him as a quarterback, that part shouldn't even matter, because it's all about winning.
Right.
Everybody always talk about it don't matter what it looked like, and long as we win.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of funny a quarterback saying that too.
Yeah, and the offense is very methodical, which again, I think that ties in with what we were talking about earlier. Someone texted in from the 281 saying that it could just be like more running the football, and it does feel like anecdotally, I'll have to go and look at the stats on how rushing looks comparatively over the last, I don't know, decade or so in the NFL. But it does feel like there is more of a concerted effort to run the football to that point. And the Eagles' offense is obviously very efficient, especially in the red zone, in part because of the tush-push play. And when we talk about the tush-push play, the Bucs head coach, we know, Todd Bowles, was actually praising the tush-push for creativity, interestingly enough. Because he said that, you know, there's a lot of people that have come after it, and he said he's a fan of the creativity, right? He thinks that if somebody crafts something that they do well and it's within the rules, it's up to the other side of the football to stop them. That's according to Todd Bowles. And then he went further, and I appreciated this level of kind of awareness. They have something that they do well. I think Buffalo is the other team that can do it well. And interestingly enough, last year they were actually at it.
Yeah, well, they got stopped in the postseason.
That did stop.
Yeah.
If everyone else could do it, everyone would be doing it. So it's a challenge for all defensive coordinators to stop it, and that includes me.
Let me ask you both this. Do you think the tush push is boring? I think it's kind of – there's a sense of anticipation every time they do it. I don't think it's necessarily.
Is there a sense of anticipation?
Like, just because it's so unique, you know, you want to see how they barrel through this guy.
I do feel like it's boring when they're doing it on third down.
Okay.
If it's third down, but if it's like a fourth and short.
Or on the goal line.
Yeah, or if it's a fourth and goal or something like that.
I don't think it's that boring. Do you?
There is something to be said for the part of the excitement of anything live is not knowing what's going to happen next. And when they line up for that tush push. we know what the end result is going to be. They're by and large going to get it. I do wonder if that changes at all, because Desmond Watson, the big mm-hmm. boy out of Florida. Yeah. Ooh, wrong team. He was re-signed back to the Bucks practice squad this week, and there's a lot of people thinking, especially as Todd Bowles is talking. Yeah. Are they going to utilize him, maybe put Big Boy in the middle, see if they can stop the tush push that way?
He's going to be activated for one game.
And it's like, we know that we wanted you to get healthy. Hold that for just 1 minute.
Take this $50,000.
Yeah, can you just be a big old trash can full of dirt and not move right now?
We need you for four plays. Yeah. That's all, just four.
All right, that's a little bit of a around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. There's a couple of additions that the Texans have made to their roster. We'll talk about that and what's popping. But coming up next here in the loop on Sports Radio 610, there was an interesting piece written in The Athletic about CJ Stroud and where he is. And it kind of obviously all circles around the contract timing that's coming up here soon. As of right now, what you've seen from CJ right now, how would you handle the next contract that seems to be coming up for him? 713-572-4610. I want to talk about that next.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K-12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
All right, let's talk about CJ Stroud, the quarterback of this team. In fact, the head coach and the quarterback of the team will be talking today on a Wednesday as they're practicing today, getting ready for week four matchup against the Tennessee Titans. That is indeed John Lopez. Say it with me now. I know you want to. A must win.
Is this a must win?
What are we doing?
This is a must win right here. If they go 0-4.
I know you just didn't know what was coming. All right, I'll do it again. We'll just run it back. Say it with me now, John mm-hmm. Lopez. You're not doing your lips.
Must win better.
Okay, never mind. I thought I could get it.
This is low key a must win game. Though,
come on
right?
now.
They got to win this.
All right,
one.
Tell me what a must win game is, Figgy. Refresh my memory.
Win or you go home, or that's
yes,
it.
Yeah. Well, you win or the season's over.
Hey, well, if they go 0-4.
Well,
is the season over?
Well, not right now because they haven't lost it yet.
Rattle off 12 straight wins this.
If they go 0-4 and the Colts are 4-0,
mm-hmm.
it's over.
I mean, we could talk about it ostensibly being over.
He threw out ostensibly. Yeah. And I use ostensibly all the time.
Technically, it's not
it
over.
It still hit me kind of crazy. All right, but let's talk about CJ because the contract situation is the framework that I think a lot of people are utilizing when they're thinking about how he is playing right now. It's not just, he's not playing well, which to be fair, like he isn't. And that is a frustration that absolutely exists within this 0-3 streak that they are on right now, or slide rather. But it's also on top of that, well, this is a guy that you're anticipating and you're getting close to the window of Are we going to have to pay him $50, $60 million annually as an organization? And so I kind of wanted to kind of think about this, especially as Jeff Howe of The Athletic put together a piece that was thinking about this, right? Like, has CJ played himself out of a big extension is kind of the question, or is he playing himself out of an extension? And I kind of was interested on how you, at this point, without seeing how the season continues to progress, whatever decisions are made and changes might be made, whether it's the style of play, who was calling play, so on and so forth, where are you at mentally as just putting down a milestone for how you would like to see them handle CJ Stroud's extension? And I feel like there's probably three ways you can handle it, right?
I'm a mess when it comes to how you handle it right now.
Okay, let's talk through it then.
Yeah, I am an absolute mess. If you look at projections, and the projections when it comes to quarterback contracts are pretty darn accurate. You know, they're pretty darn accurate.
Because it's just the line. It's who's up next.
Yeah.
If you are in a certain bucket, here we go. We can sign this and just kind of move this along.
So projections are that CJ Stroud's next contract will be roughly 5 years, between $350 and $390 million.
With an average annual value of?
Well, what would be? What would that be? I don't have the AAV in front of me. I would say, what, 36, 37, something like that?
What?
No. For 5 years, $390 million. Let's say top end. What is it?
That's $390 for 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
Break out that calculator.
Hold on. This number looks crazy. Let me do it one more time. 78?
No, that's not right. Well, I'm just looking at it right now. Some
Ooh,
of the projections.
I would be like, nah.
We're looking at 50 probably, right? 40, 50?
Yeah, and mm-hmm. this is the thing is when you start talking about the actual like mm-hmm. 60, mm-hmm. 70, whatever the number is, that ends up being like, oh, this is so big and why we probably should use a percentage of cap. But either way, like percentage of cap kind of highlights this even more because when you start talking about NFL quarterback contracts, they're nearing, they're like 20, 22, mm-hmm. nearing like a quarter of your cap, or I mean, just around at least, let's say, a fifth of your cap is being dedicated to one player. And so that's where you go, hey, you want them to raise that. And I feel like there's three ways you can handle this, John Lopez. Tell me if I'm missing it.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can either just go ahead, time comes at the end of the year, and you say, this is a quarterback of that caliber where you think he's like somewhere around top 10.
By the way, I was looking at it wrong. It was 290.
Okay, yeah, I was it was definitely much higher. Where you just go ahead and say, you pay him because mm-hmm. he's the next in line. You do it early and you just do that. There's another one that I think you go for what would be, hey, let's wait. Let's hold off and let's see if we can have him prove it, you know, in year four. Mm-hmm. Maybe you even go ahead and activate the fifth-year extension and say that we know that we're going to at least get that somewhat manageable year of the contract still on there. We'll hold off and see and maybe have to pay even more as more people come up to the line and get their money, but we want to be sure.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you think you can maybe get something done in the middle, which is maybe looks kind of like a Jordan Love thing, where you're able to get something that is a small extension for a more manageable number, but then gets you to a place where you feel a little bit more comfortable on the back end. And again, have to pay maybe even more
basically
on the back end of
that. Basically a prove it deal.
If you could get that across the line, which is my big question.
And that's why I'm a mess, because the number one thing is that the Texans have always been able to get these contracts done early, which would indicate that maybe they'd want to get this done, but those are different positions.
Yes, and I've hypothesized this to you, and I'm still kind of banding this about in my brain on whether or not this is a thing or not, mm-hmm. is I wonder how much of that is actually an established MO
to
or an
be
MO
able
that's being
to,
established,
yeah.
or how much of that is we're doing this for the time period and all of these short-term contracts are so that once that money rolls mm-hmm. over for your big-time quarterback, at that point, they drop off, or at least they're more manageable for then you to change your MO at that point, because
right.
we know that when so much of your salary cap is dedicated to one position, you have to change your MO a little bit. So maybe that is a precursor to that point in time in team building where you then change your MO.
I totally agree, and so I'm wondering about that. By the way, if you sign the short-term deal, you know who his agent is, right?
David Mulgetta, and that's why I don't
think it's
going
to be. That's the first thing I thought about, man. That's the first thing I went up to.
To me, that's a non-starter. That is not going to happen. Like scratch that one. So you scratch that one because he's going to want the 290, you know, the 40.
Which, by the way, 290 on a five-year deal falls in line with what we're talking about, which is 58.
Yeah.
That's 58, which still a lot of bleep money annually in millions, but that's a lot closer.
I think David Mulgetta is trying to set records at this point.
He's
trying to squeeze everything out of that limit.
It's going to be in that neighborhood. And frankly, let's cut through all the crap here. I'm about as big a CJ Stroud defender and fan as you're going to find. I'm not good with that. I'm not good with a 5-year, $290 million.
See, the thing is, the way that camp roll, I could see them just blaming the whole organization. Like, look, they setting them up to fail. I could see them causing a stir about that.
Yes.
If they're not willing to
pay.
But
are you good with 5, from what we've seen, are you good with 5 years, $290 million?
Nah. I don't think anybody should be good with that.
I mean, at this moment, no. Like, we've seen, and I think I'm a lot closer to you than I am to where I think there are some people, I don't want to make it seem like it's everybody, that are either done with CJ or have real big doubts. I don't have those same big doubts.
Me neither. I'm not done with him. Yeah.
We've seen very much flashes, proofs of concept, if you will, on the type of quarterback that would get that $58 million annually. But the circumstances are really rough, and you've seen some de-evolution or devolution in the game a little bit. But and some of that you might say, okay, these are the type of circumstances that you need to carry through, but not for this long period of time. And I think if you give him something that stabilizes a little bit more, you see more of that. And interestingly enough, Jeff Howe of The Athletic was kind of writing about this. And one of the things he talked about, he pointed back to another athletic survey. In fact, one that we talked about where executives, a group of 31 of them were asked, if you were to build a team, what's the quarterback that you would start with? And at least two of them brought up C.J. Stroud as that still being the case. And that's headed into the season. Now, of course, you did not see the start of this season, but I think there was questions about C.J. last year and how it worked. I think that there's still a lot of belief in what he's capable of doing, especially if he's in the right, in a much better circumstance. But yeah, I think I'm oddly enough in a place where, because of the stakes of making such a big investment, you might have to put it off a year if it continues this year looking like what it looks like right now.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because the short term smaller deal is off the table. We're not comfortable with 5 years, $290 million. I can't imagine that they are at this point, maybe, but I doubt it. And then the other option is going to probably further alienate your quarterback.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChooseProMavera.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
I do wonder, because they...
So all three options ain't great.
No, it is. Yeah. Especially if the offense is going the way it is, the whole scheme and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they keep losing games like this, he is going to get frustrated.
Yeah.
And now you're losing money. He's losing money at this point.
Mm-hmm. Right, and there's fair text coming in all up and down. We appreciate when you get involved. 713-572-4610 from the 936. Forget money for 1 minute. Okay, I don't know what money is. Would you rather have CJ or Dak Prescott? If it's CJ, the price tag starts at $60 million a year. And I think I get where you're coming from, and I understand why you're there, and you're not wrong in that, especially Dave Mulgeta is going to do comparables and comps. he's going to need to look as about as solid as Dak Prescott. And I think one of the things that makes Dak Prescott a little bit of an anomaly is the leverage that he had against Jerry Jones. Yeah. Through the Cowboys' own doing.
Because they pushed it back.
Right. And so there is some of that.
There's the other option.
That is some of it. Does it change your mind at all if you remember that Jordan Love is a David Mulligetta client? Or are you just leaning into the idea that there was so little data on him because of how late he started as a starting quarterback where no way in hell?
Yeah, no. But Jordan Love was still trying to prove himself at that point. And credit to them for getting him signed. But you mentioned the three options. Are any of them good?
No, but I mean, that's not because of the options themselves. That's because of the circumstance that you're in, which again is why you mm-hmm. come back to the fact that the idea that you didn't go all out making sure that you had mm-hmm. your line figured out for this season. The idea that you started with a first time play caller. You either had one of two things. Either you set yourself up where you're like, I'm cool with this dichotomy or this kind of choice, this mm-hmm. Sophie's choice of sorts that you're in right now when it comes to that feeling. Or you were in a place where you were like, we know we're going to pay C.J. Stroud regardless, so I'm not worried about figuring out or isolating the variable on whether or not he is that guy. And honestly, I'm going to be completely honest, at least in that building, and I know people are going to hear this and be like, groan or whatever, I get it. They are probably in that space where like, we know who we have in C.J., mm-hmm. and so we feel comfortable going and getting a first-time play caller, which, again, I don't think it doesn't feel like a right decision, at least in this moment. We definitely doesn't feel like the right decision the way that they decided to handle the offensive line. But those are the types of things that logically you can do if you feel like, well, we know our quarterback is here, so we're not trying to figure out about him.
Well, you're right. But again, when you start looking at these options, which now let's get to the one you have to pick. Like you have to pick one of these three options. Kick it down the road a little bit, short term, which we all know that that's probably not going to happen, so we can almost eliminate that. Or go ahead and pay him. You know, $58 million a year for 5 years.
I mean, at this moment, I think the one that I would probably choose, and it's just because of the importance of trying to get it right, is probably waiting a year. But I think the one that they choose is that they'll get a deal done.
Yeah, I think you just got to pay them. And we were kind of pointing and laughing at Trevor Lawrence, where it's like, he's kind of mediocre.
That's the worst case scenario now, isn't it? Yeah. Right? Like, you end up in a place where you have a quarterback that is fine, but probably not transcendent.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that people are scared of, but it feels like that's the MO.
Yeah, because what other option, unless you just want to create a little hell and make them try to earn it? Yeah. Which that ain't going to go well with that camp.
Well, I'm a C.J. Stroud defender. I would pay him. And I'm not comfortable with it. So that says a lot right there.
But see, that kind of...
I mean, I think he's it. I think he's got it. Now, all evidence recently to the contrary, I get it. But I think he's got it. But nevertheless, even me, I'm saying I would pay him, I'm not real comfortable with that.
But see, the thing is, you got to, when you do pay him, you just got to hope the organization kind of get it
right.
Together.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe they move on from Nick Caley and try to go to a more experienced play caller or something like that.
Yeah.
And maybe CJ could get back to his rookie year.
The beauty of it is that that's not a decision that has to be made right now. But I wanted to use that as a kind of an idea to get a feel, get another feel of where people are with the CJ, with CJ and where he is. But this is why it's going to be important for this team to get themselves right offensively. I mean, it makes your decision that much easier if down the stretch you see significant improvement, you see him in a better circumstance. But this is why it's tough. The way that this offense is going right now, it doesn't help.
It's a little scary, too, because we talked about how CJ been looking in the press conference and all that stuff.
Yes.
He damn near looking depressed.
Yeah.
So you don't want to get to a point where he just say, you know what, I just want out. Mm-hmm. Like, this organization ain't going to get it right. I'm losing money, and you know David gonna make some calls. Like, yo, he gonna do what he can do.
Yeah.
Objective in front of them is the Titans, and so hopefully CJ and this entire offense and the team looks significantly better to that point. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk about what's popping, including pursuant to that game here in mere days. The Texans have added some things to their defensive secondary. Who are the new players that you have? And let's talk about some other things that are popping next. All right, let's get into what's popping here in the loop on Sports Radio 610 here on this Wednesday. First and foremost, on this Wednesday, after the segment, we'll be in the 12 o'clock hour, which means a couple of things. We got a couple things to give away, which All week long, we've been doing this, getting you ready for some UH Cougars football as they take on Texas Tech here in a week or two. Is that?
Yep. Yeah, next week.
Next week. There we go. Yep. Thank you, sir. That is our Houston Cougars correspondent, Figgy Fig. Appreciate you, sir. And you can get 4 tickets to that game by listening. We'll be giving that away in the next hour. And then also we'll be giving away a $50 gift card from Texas Star Grill Shops as well. That also gives you a chance to, or that will enter you rather into a raffle with a chance to win a Traeger Woolridge Elite Grill. So, hey, those things are coming up in the next hour. Also, something that's not coming up, something that is done. Texans have made a couple of transactions. Obviously, the big one yesterday was the release of C.J. Gardner-Johnson. But if you look at the depth chart, that made it pretty sparse, right? Like M.J. Stewart steps up as your starting safety now. And
on the depth chart.
On the depth chart. Yeah. Starting safety. We'll talk more about that here in a second. I think also that probably puts Miles Bryant in play for more time coming off the practice squad at this moment. But you have made some acquisitions, and one of those is a cornerback added to the 53-man roster, mind you. This is not a practice squad roster addition. Zion Childress, he is a Houston boy, so shout out to him playing for the hometown school. He's from New Caney High School. And 2025, he was in this draft class, but he was undrafted. He had been on the Cowboys practice squad, and that's who you sign him off of. I like going to the draft profiles to get a little bit of an idea. The dude, 5'11", cornerback, at least weighed in at 199 combine-wise. And I'll give you my guy Dane Brugler of The Athletic. This is his write-out. Although he is undersized, Childress is quick to read and drive to influence the play. That feels like a D'Amico Ryans guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
He made a number of plays on the 2024 Georgia tape early in the season, but struggled to build off of that performance for the rest of the final year, which he played at Kentucky. Overall, Childress is easy to appreciate because he plays fast, physical, and decisive. But his missed tackles and lackluster ball production make it tough to fully buy in. His special teams mentality certainly will help.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, because he, as you mentioned, he is on the roster. He is going to be out there. Well, he's on the 53 anyway. We'll see about activations and all that stuff. But, fits the profile, SEC guy. But, for all the flaws and faults that we saw, you know, in C.J. Gardner-Johnson, the secondary is just scrambling.
Yeah.
You know, they're just scrambling right
but,
now.
But, I mean, that's absolutely necessary, especially with – I do wonder what that maybe says, and this may be doing too much about Derek Stingley, who obviously left.
Had that.
He had the oblique injury that had him leave the Jaguars game. Obviously, today will be the first time that we get some practice reports. We'll see what that is. But they add a cornerback to the depth chart, not necessarily a safety 2-1. Quintez Cephas joins the practice squad. Mm-hmm. I imagine that that vacated spot, but that's not how that works. those are the moves that happen for your Texans. We'll talk more about that secondary here in a moment. Some other things that are popping. Baseball was popping yesterday. Not really in a great way either way. Or I guess I'll let you determine that. We know the one thing that's definitely not in a great way, which is that your Houston Astros rather fall in Sacramento versus the Athletics 5-1. It started early with, you know, some misplayed balls in the infield. Letting the A's score early without really having very, very good hits, honestly. And then the hits kept coming. 5-1 was ultimately where it went. Defense wasn't great. How did you feel about Christian Javier in this one?
Mixed bag, but yep. He could only hold on so much. What was it, 4 runs I think he gave up ultimately? The main thing, as you mentioned earlier, was the offense, and you couldn't scratch anything out after – I mean, the last 6 innings was a zero, a zilch, and that's not what you want to do for a contending team. And some of the same other issues that we've seen down this bad stretch for them.
Yeah, so they go again today. They are a full game back of the Tigers. I'll talk about that here in a second. It'll be a Hunter Brown day. I wish I could used to – I miss when I could talk about these like it was a holiday. but we'll see. Hunter Brown is still the guy that you throw out there who's been the best for you as a starting pitcher of late. Luis Severino is on the bump for the A's, so we'll see what that looks like. Again, another 9:05 first pitch. Hope you got your blanket ready.
Yay.
But the game that happened before that is pursuant to this, we're watching the wild card now because that's how the Astros, mm-hmm. that's their path in. The Guardians, who were previously the team that was in the wild card situation, they beat the Tigers 5-2. That's a one-game swing in those AL Central situations, and that actually put the Guardians in a place where they now, well, they're tied on record, but the Guardians had the tiebreaker between the Tigers. Mm-hmm. So they now exist as the AL Central lead right this moment but via tiebreak. The Tigers have a one-game lead on the Wild Card, as I mentioned, but the Tigers have lost 7 games in a row. Yeah. They've lost 9 out of the last 10. When it came to like the few games that we had left, I was like, hey, the team that had the lower record, I want them to lose. But now I think I'm actually swinging this. I want the Tigers to lose because they're already in this downward trend.
Oh, 100%.
It feels like they can come back to you, assuming the Astros get their butts in gear and actually score some runs.
Yeah, no, the Astros certainly have to do their part. But you're no longer, as an Astros fan, you're no longer looking at the Mariners. You're no longer looking at the Guardians. You're looking at the Tigers. And by the way, monumental collapse. The Astros have fallen and collapsed, so to speak. The Tigers were up 12 and a half games the second week of July. They were up 12 and a half.
This is like a historic fall.
Absolutely. 12 and a half games. I think it was July 8th or 9th.
They look like the best team in baseball. I'm going to say one of. Why do I have to couch that? They look like the best team in baseball. Yeah. And now they, along with your Astros, are clawing for that final wild card. Well, actually, right now, they're clawing for AL Central, but the way the Guardians really just came down on Tarek Skubal, right? Tarek Skubal is one
that
of the better
guy.
Pitches.
Yeah.
He didn't even give up a hard hit ball.
He crashed out, man, in the sixth inning. He crashed out.
So the Guardians got to him. How much more now as the Tigers go through the rest of their staff?
Yeah.
I'll be watching that one. I do wonder if they – I think it's another 540 for them. So I might be on another baseball doubleheader for myself today.
So 19 days ago, Cleveland was behind 11 games in the AL Central.
Think about that.
19 days ago.
That is, it's truly unbelievable. Like, I would never believe that. And never heard, ever.
Crazy.
Unbelievable.
Crazy, crazy. All right, this is believable as we get some more things that are popping. Robot umpires, as people have called them, the automated balls and strike system, has been approved by MLB for the 2026 season. It'll be the challenge system that we saw employed in the All-Star game. And obviously, we saw that dating back to spring training. And if you've seen some AAA games, they've been doing that for, what is it, last couple
of
years,
head.
In fact. Right. Batters, catchers, or pitchers are allowed to tap their head or helmet or whatever immediately after a play with no assistance from the dugout or anywhere else. And then it goes to a replay. That has worked pretty quickly in the times that we've seen it utilized. They really worked out the bugs there. You happy about this?
I am. I think it's the right first step. I don't think it's going to be – I think it needs to go a little further than this ultimately. Simply because you're still going to – if you miss – by the way, if you miss the challenge, you lose it. If you get it right, you keep your challenge.
Right.
Two challenges.
It's make it take it on challenges.
Yeah, you get two, and you can just keep two the whole time if you keep getting them right, which is good, and I like it, and it's a good first step. But I'm kind of ready for just, jump into the deep end, man. Let's just go.
Get rid of the umpires?
Why? You don't need them. There still will be an – for balls and strikes, I mean. There will still be an umpire at the plate. Or whatever other, to kind of manage the game and plays at the plate and, anything else that comes up that umpires do.
You want this to be like soccer goal line technology where they got the watch and it goes immediately to the watch. They know exactly what the call is.
Seriously, very seriously here. What would be the problem with that?
I don't know. Yeah. I will say that I do appreciate this and the opportunity to challenge. With challenges, I kind of hate gamifying because the whole idea of replay is like, we want to get it right. Why are we making this a game? We're like, are you sure it's right?
Right.
Would you like to gamble and see? Like, I kind of hate that. Are we getting it right or are we not?
Yeah. Why not just every pitch? That's a ball. That's a strike. No questions, no issues, no tapping your head.
Well, the why not is the refs are unionized as well.
The right? umpires, that, yes.
Or
yes,
umpires in this instance.
So pretty much this is like TSA.
It is.
It sounds like TSA.
It is. But you see my point? You know what? We want to get it right. Okay, let's get it right. Every pitch. Let's get every pitch right.
Yeah.
I think we'll get there eventually.
Them umpires been bad, too.
Oh,
like, I've seen a whole bunch of bad calls.
There was one yesterday I saw the highlight on, and it was just...
It was one way up top of the strike zone.
I'm
like, damn.
have they been more bad, or are we just more prone to it? Especially
I think we're seeing it more.
As not only we know that we're on the cusp of getting the so-called robos umpires into this situation. Like, we're on the cusp of that, so we're more alert of it. And then we got you know, social media where it's going to be put to you like, oh, did you see that dude who threw a ball right down Main Street that got called, should have been a strike but was called a ball? Like, I think we're seeing more of those. I do wonder if that is indeed more prevalent. Not that I'm saying it's not.
It might be, but I think we're just seeing it a lot.
I think you see more of it where it don't matter. It's like in the middle of the game and it didn't really swing a game or anything like that.
Yeah.
But just watching as a fan, it's just like, whoa, that was not a strike.
Imagine a world where like no one could argue.
Yeah, you say that.
That was a strike. That was a ball.
You say that a couple times a game too, man. Yeah. Like, whoa, what was that?
Does any part of you, assuming that, I mean, we know that this is going to be challenged, right? But we all kind of seemingly are in the place where we like to see it be fully implemented ABS.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any part of you that does lament the human element? Because I have heard, and I can't remember who it was in particular, and I feel bad. Because
there was a player
one of the great pitchers we have out here, and so I feel bad that I'm not remembering that was like, no, actually, I don't like this because I feel like it is part of the reverence that you get for being a better player is that you get a more advantageous strike zone. I do appreciate that portion of it because I think that, you know, the notion of these games is that there's a little bit of like this societal element to it. But I don't know that that is worth not getting these things right and having such egregious unfairness happening in what is supposed to be fairness in administering the game.
Right there with you. I think the great pitchers are still going to nick the outside of that bottom left corner and get a strike. That's what he's talking about, like being able to get a guy to chase, maybe even outside the zone. Well, if it's outside the zone, it's a ball, you know?
Yeah.
And the chase aspect is still going to be there. Yeah. That's what people don't seem to understand. There's still going to be a pitch 3 inches outside of the zone that falls out that batters are still going to swing and miss at.
Well, there is a little bit of something that is different with ABS because the way that it's set up, it actually judges, and I heard this on the broadcast yesterday, so shout out to Space City Home Network. It judges the strike zone from the middle of the play compared to like the front of the play, which I think is the umpire's kind of standard. I'm interested in seeing how much that changes the game, where now we're talking about calling balls and strikes from that depth, which makes it more difficult on pitchers, which hopefully, I guess, will up offense if you're having to. Because, I mean, you know, if you have a ball that's breaking outwards, it can clip that front edge, but look like it's 3 inches off the plate by the time that it makes it midway deep into the plate.
I get it. But I think the pitching aspect and nibbling on the corners and all that is not going to go anywhere. But
I do think some pitchers and maybe some batters, too, might miss some of the umpires who have their own certain strike zones, how some of them might call it a little wider, some might call it a little up. I think all of that part might be gone.
Either way, get ready for the challenge system to be fully implemented in the MLB starting next year. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, C.J. Gardner-Johnson is gone, and with all the reporting that happened yesterday, really good reporting by the assembled Houston media, I think I'm actually more hopeful for this team. 713-572-4610. I'll tell you why that is next.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K-12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.